The new German war machine, that might just be the headline of 2025. It's from the latest issue of The Atlantic on this vital trend. But several months before The Atlantic, we had a similar headline of our own. Germany is arming for World War III, declared the cover article of our September 2025 print edition. That article was from Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry, and it summarizes one of the most important themes that he covered in 2025. We're coming to the close of the year, where I like to look back, but through the lens of articles by Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry. These are our most important articles, our tentpole articles, you could say, that we hang all the rest of our coverage around. And looking back at these articles is a great way to cut through the fluff and look at what has really happened of importance over the last year. Watching the rise of the German military was one of the most consistent and repeated themes of his articles in 2025. I think on a recent show, his son Stephen Flurry called the rise of the German war machine something like the story of the 21st century. So I think we can safely say it is the story of 2025. And the most important and comprehensive of these articles, there were, I think, at least half a dozen of them that we'll look at today, was that story from the September 2025 Trumpet print. And what kicks that article off is a different headline. From Reuters, Germany plots the future of warfare, was that article, talking about the way Germany plans to nearly triple its military budget when you look at, I think it was last year compared to 2029. And it says that much of that money will go into reinventing the nature of warfare, the sources said. Mr. Flurry comments, Germany is indeed reinventing the nature of warfare, and Bible prophecy reveals it will suddenly start World War III. Right at the beginning of that article, he summarizes just a little bit of that prophecy. Revelation 17 prophesies the rise of a military alliance of 10 kings leading 10 nations or groups of nations in Europe. This alliance will be dominated and led by Germany, biblical Assyria. Assyria has a history of starting many wars over and over again. Isaiah 10 shows that it will soon start another war, the most destructive in history. It says that God will allow this because he is going to use the modern-day Assyrians to punish the modern descendants of biblical Israel. Our book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, explains this and gives you the history to understand it. And that book is important, essential background to understanding the rise of this German war machine. But just to summarize, you have books like Isaiah that talk about Assyria rising, Assyria attacking Israel. And this happened anciently. And right when the time when Isaiah was writing, King Hezekiah of Judah was facing off against Sennacherib from Assyria. And Assyria had taken the northern tribes of Israel into captivity. But at the same time, some parts of the book of Isaiah have very clearly not been fulfilled. This book has wonderful prophecies of the Messiah's rule on the earth, the return of Jesus Christ. That it talks about this same chapter of Isaiah, chapter 10. Verse 21. Talk about this time. So if Isaiah is only talking about history, where do all these other bits of prophecy fit in? And the solution, as even so much of the book makes clear, is that what happened anciently and Assyria's ancient attack on Israel was only a type. And today, the descendants of Britain, of ancient Israel, the descendants of those northern tribes of Israel that were carried into captivity, well, they're now living in the United States and in Britain. And that's something you can prove from your Bible, something which Herbert W. Armstrong does in that book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. And the descendants of the Jews are, of course, living in Judah in the Middle East. And so there's an end-time prophecy, an end-time captivity coming. And then there's an end-time Assyrian attack. And so in that same book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, Mr. Flurry shows how the German nation is descended from ancient Assyria. And we'll have a show coming up over the next couple of months with more on that subject as well. So Isaiah 10 says that God is going to use modern Germany to correct a sinning descendants of Israel. Verse 5 says, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff in my hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath. And I will give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire in the streets. Britain and America, we are hypocritical nations. We act like we're very righteous people, while leading the world in sin and disobedience to God. And what Mr. Flurry said in this article, what he showed in this article, is that we're watching Germany rise now to be that rod, to be that correction. And that rise that we see in Germany, the new German war machine that the Atlantic talked about, is leading directly into God correcting Britain and America. And it's not just a story of Germany boosting its spending. In that article, Mr. Flurry describes the way Germany overtook Japan in May to become the world's largest creditor nation. They're loaning and investing more in other countries than anyone else is. That shows the reach of Germany's industrial power, writes Mr. Flurry. That is quite an accomplishment. But then he also says Germany's great industrial power is being rapidly transformed for military purposes. Germany is already Europe's largest military spender, but it is only at the beginning of a frightening military transformation. He talked at length in that article about the way Germany's economy is shifting to defense. And once again, that's a hot topic. Just over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal had an article, in Germany, everyone is a defense manufacturer now. And it doesn't matter what you did before. Okay, vehicle parts, that seems like a more easy transition over to some kind of military program. But automated kitchens, they're moving over into the military. The Wall Street Journal says, across Germany, railcar factories are being retooled to build military vehicles. Auto suppliers are joining with defense contractors, and former soldiers are suddenly hot commodities in the job market. Mr. Flurry, in that September article, also talked about the role that German startups are playing. And people like Helsinger. And now they're getting into drones and AI. And that's another aspect of this Wall Street Journal article that is really kind of this retooling towards defense is turbocharging this trend, where you're having established manufacturing companies that are struggling to stay afloat because whatever they were making for cars or chemical industry or something isn't panning out, calling up Helsinger and a lot of these new startups and kind of being, okay, you've got some really innovative military technology. But obviously, you're a new startup. You don't have masses of experience in manufacturing. I think we can do a deal here. We're a really well-established German manufacturing company. Let's make something together. You've got a lot of incredible designs and things. We'll build them. And it looks like this trend could really turbocharge some of those startups like Helsinger. I mean, all countries around the world are working on drone programs right now, but Helsinger really is one of the most advanced, important players rising up in Europe. There are other ones. America has a lot of experience with drones. Turkey has a lot of experience with drones. Ukraine now has a lot of experience with drones. And this is a big part of the reason why countries are interested in sending military aid to Ukraine, is so that they can try out some of their drone technology in real time and see how it fares against real opponents. But the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists wrote in 2021, armed, fully autonomous drone swarms are the future weapons of mass destruction. While they're unable to achieve the scale of harm as the Tsar Bomber, the famous Soviet hydrogen bomb, or most other major nuclear weapons, swarms could cause the same level of destruction, death, and injury as the nuclear weapons used in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That is tens of thousands of deaths. Autonomous drone swarms, it's a terrifying technology, and it's one nations around the world are pursuing at breakneck speed. And this relates to another article we have in our very latest Trumpet print. I'll be sitting down with the Trumpet's assistant managing editor, Philip Nice, for next week's show, and we're going to do a review, a look up over our January 2026 Trumpet print magazine. But one of the articles in there is why we must develop AI, even if it kills us, that goes into some of this breakneck speed that's being put into these new type of technologies and potentially even weapons. This Mr. Flurry talks in this article, though, about Germany and the way they're getting into this. This is potentially a technology that could make a lot of older tech obsolete. A lot of... You can have a drone, a cheap drone, destroy a really expensive tank. That's been the dynamic going on in Ukraine. So you have countries like the United States and many others that have put a whole lot of investment into their military over the last 20, 30 years. Is some of this new tech going to mean that's not relevant anymore, a waste, level the playing field to a certain extent to someone that hasn't put in that same kind of development? I mean, Germany, as Mr. Flurry said when he was quoting Reuters, is reinventing the nature of warfare. That's what we're seeing happening here. He talked about how potentially drones and autonomous drone swarms, could they neutralize nuclear defense or a country's ability to use nuclear weapons? That's kind of a scary idea, because if you can do that, if you can neutralize your enemy's nuclear defense, you can launch a nuclear strike against them and you can then not be hit back. And this would effectively end the era of mutually assured destruction. Mr. Flurry said, we got a small taste of that in Ukraine's June 1st drone strike on Russia's strategic nuclear bombers. If that's just what Ukraine can do, what could a nation with a bigger technological edge, more amounts of money do? With more AI, more technology development behind it. Mr. Flurry writes, Germany's expertise in these new technologies is bringing potentially revolutionary change to the battlefield. This is a monumental shift in warfare, but it's not going to bring peace. It's going to bring war. The article talks about some important history. The Wall Street Journal, they went over some important history in their article over the weekend as well. The Wall Street Journal writes, the growth of the defense industry is a return to Germany's past. Yeah, it is. There should be a warning there that more people should be paying attention to. Starting in the early 19th century, German industrialization was closely intertwined with the country's weapon industry. Steelmaker Krupp, founded in 1811, was the largest industrial company in Europe for much of the late 19th and early 20th century. It became synonymous with Germany's military power, producing the Big Bertha guns during World War I and later building tanks and U-boat components for the Nazis. And Krupp executives played a major role in bringing Hitler into power. The Wall Street Journal didn't mention that. But now we're going back to the same kind of German industrial model. Mr. Flurry's had a lot to say about that this year, both in this article and in one published on our website on October 16th, titled Who is Leading Germany? And in both of those articles, he pointed to the role German industrialists played, and in now a well-known, or at least well-established, I should say. Not many people know about it, but it's attested to by a lot of reliable sources. We know the role that German industry played in meeting with the Nazis in 1944 and promising to go underground and to revive Germany and bring the German war machine back. And in that article, Who is Leading Germany? Mr. Flurry tied that. He's made this point before, but he kind of brought this bang up to date. He tied that to Donald Tusk and comments this Polish president made about what Angela Merkel told him, where Germany's built this or did build these pipelines to build an alliance with Russia. And Merkel said, well, I didn't really want this to happen. But she said that she had no choice. She said she found herself helpless in the face of pressure from German industry. You know, the same industry that said they would bring Germany back up. Mr. Flurry said in that article, German businesses have so much power they can overrule even the Chancellor. And he talks about some of the broken promises and U-turns Friedrich Merz has made. He writes that Merz vowed that Germany would not take on new debt, then promptly removed the debt brake for military and infrastructure spending. He swore that Israel would never face delays in receiving German weapons, then imposed a partial arms embargo. He pledged to give Ukraine the formidable Taurus missile, only to deny it when the moment of decision came. This is more than your typical political deceit. Part of the reason for that, and I'm sure he's your typical politician that goes backwards and forwards, but part of the reason for that is he's not really the one in charge of Germany. It's these German industrialists that are. On September 22nd this year, Merz had a meeting with the bosses of umbrella organizations that covered Germany's big businesses. Bild wrote of that, at the secret summit, the heads of the four major business associations gave the Chancellor a thorough grilling for an hour and a half. It says, the key demand made of Friedrich Merz was to pick up the pace on social reforms, reducing bureaucracy and modernizing the state. You know, they're getting impatient, but they're the real masters. Mr. Flurry said, we don't know who what these business leaders discuss in secret, but we do see the result, especially in foreign policy. And so there's a great warning in that history that the Wall Street Journal points to rightly, but glosses over very, very briefly. Mr. Flurry, going back to that original September article, Germany arms for World War III, Mr. Flurry says, watch Germany. You need to realize what is about to happen. They're talking about peace, but they're about to start a war like this world has never seen. Many biblical prophecies tell you this. Revelation 18 is one of the passages you ought to read. It refers to modern Europe as Babylon. Look also at Jeremiah 1, verses 13 to 15, which describes a seething pot that is boiling over in Germany, about to spill out and cause terrible destruction. And it's a story I wouldn't say most people are ignorant of necessarily. It's been on The Atlantic. It's been in The Wall Street Journal. People see Germany building their military, but we've now reached this stage where we don't see the preparing for war. We don't see that it's going to hurt us. We're completely asleep to that. To most people, it's utterly unimaginable. I mean, they know the history. They know about World War II. Okay, maybe not all the details, but they know that Germany started that. But the idea that that could happen again as Germany militarizes again, they're just asleep. And history thunders a warning. Bible prophecy thunders a warning. You can study some of those passages. In our August Trumpet print issue, Mr. Flurry sounded again a similar warning, this time in an article titled Lithuania in Prophecy. And this came after Germany established its first overseas military base since World War II. And Mr. Flurry warned almost no one is paying attention. But some crucial consequential history is repeating itself before our eyes in this little East European country. And the first permanent overseas base in World War II. It's a big deal to have a permanent overseas base and to establish the ability and the logistics to have troops stay overseas permanently or abroad permanently. I guess technically as you can walk to Germany from Germany to Lithuania. I don't know if it counts quite as overseas, but certainly foreign military base. He quotes a lot from George Friedman from that article. Friedman says, Germany's decision to deploy a permanent force of 5,000 soldiers to Lithuania is extremely significant because it signals the next phase of a new geopolitical era. Germany's decision to destroy troops in Europe, which has been welcomed by the US as well as other European countries, violates its commitment to modest ambitions for European leadership. Put simply, the deployment to Lithuania could presage the re-emergence of Germany as a geopolitical force. One more quote from Friedman. With Germany having thus created concrete commitments in Europe, the question now is whether the deployment is the first of many European actions or simply a solitary act. And Mr. Flurry said very plainly, based on Bible prophecy, I can tell you this is no solitary act. The German military is going to expand to many other nations in Europe. And in many ways, they have already, just maybe it's not called a permanent overseas military base, but the Netherlands have integrated their entire land army into the German army, all of their land forces. They're now under German command. The Czechs and the Romanians have done the same with very significant portions of their army. So Germany may not have an official overseas or abroad foreign military base in the Netherlands or the Czech Republic or Romania, but they command, in the Dutch case, the entire army. In those other cases, a very significant part of the army. And again, Mr. Flurry brings in Bible prophecy. It says, the Bible prophesies repeatedly that Europe will have 10 kings united within a single empire, e.g. Daniel 7, verse 24, Revelation 17, verse 12. Other prophecies, which we'll look at, show that this European superstate will be ruled by Germany. Do we believe God? Do we even know God? Or have we forsaken God? And in that article, he showed how all of this is happening exactly in the way Herbert W. Armstrong forecast. And he had several quotes from Mr. Armstrong talking about exactly that. He quotes this clip that we can play you now from Mr. Armstrong in the 1980s.
A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
Mr. Flurry also brought up history, the way that Lithuania was occupied during World War II, both by the communists and the Nazis, how the Jews were persecuted. German foreign policy noted that Mertz failed to mention that large segments of the Lithuanian population had in fact collaborated with Nazi Germany and actively participated in the annihilation of Lithuania's Jews, while the suffering was mainly inflicted on the Lithuanian Jews. To Mertz and Pistorius, not a word about the Jewish victims was worth an utterance. That was specifically when Mertz visited Lithuania to have a big ceremony about the setup of this base. And a bit after that, they did have an event, maybe because of that kind of criticism. But over 90% of Lithuania's Jews were killed. It was a really brutal time for them. Here's what Mr. Flurry had to say about this and what is coming next and this history in a Key of David program he gave around the same time on the same subject.
Is this important to us? This is what happened in World War II, and it's going to happen again in World War III, and it's going to be much more despicable and hateful and cruel and just violence of all kinds, and a lot of it against the Jews. Notice this. This is shocking if you consider that during World War II, the Germans murdered about 90% of Lithuanian Jews, according to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. That's a fact. You can prove it in many, many places. Their website states Lithuanians carried out violent riots against the Jews both shortly before and immediately after the arrival of German forces. Now, you would think, instead of Germany going back to this, they would be ashamed of that history and would have nothing to do with it. But look what they're doing. They're going back and repeating the very same thing they did in World War II. And they're about to do it again in 20 times greater force, or maybe more than that. But now they're celebrating it, even though they act like they don't know anything about that history because they say nothing about it. But we are saying something about it, and this world had better heed this, because look what happened in World War II shortly after that Lithuanian tie-in. They're doing it again. And they have 5,000 soldiers there. And this outstanding journalist says that this is extremely significant. Extremely significant. But how many people believe that? They don't know anything about Lithuania. They probably don't even know where it is on the map. We'll show you. You'll see a big part of what is happening, and it's according to this great journalist, and he is well known, it is extremely significant. Extremely. Can we believe that? It's true, and you can prove it.
That same article pointed to the role that President Trump has played in this. He said U.S. President Donald Trump keeps pushing Germany to rearm. It is as if he knows nothing about Germany's history. World War II ended only 80 years ago. That is rather recent history. President Trump has been telling NATO nations the U.S. will no longer underwrite their security and they must boost their military spending dramatically. And NATO has agreed to do just that. I mean, we've seen a lot more of this recently, too. We saw the national security strategy come out from the Trump administration that insulted Europe. I mean, they were true. It made true that the insults were true. Like, the things that it said were accurate, but it was still pretty insulting. And at the same time, encouraged Europe to rearm. And since Mr. Flurry wrote that as well, we've had American figures, American leaders say, well, we think Germany should take over leadership of NATO. We think that very soon we should have a the chief general in charge of NATO, that he should be a German. He's always been an American since World War II, but we think a German should take on that role now. We want them to play the role that we used to play in defending Europe. And Master Flurry pointed out, like we mentioned, God is doing this and allowing this because of our hypocrisy, because of our sins. And he concludes, we could prevent that if we would look to God and repent of our sins. That is what we must do. We all need to repent. We are all sinners. And we need God to help us. He could so easily stop this. We must bring God into our life. If you're ever going to solve any of your problems, you have to look to God and heed what he says. If our nations do not repent, and the time is almost up, the history from World War II will repeat itself in World War III. And that theme of history repeating itself was another important aspect of a related trend that Mr. Flurry really focused on this year, especially in the first half of this year, and that was Germany moving into the Middle East. In the April 2025 Trumpet print edition, Mr. Flurry had an article, Germany is taking over the Mediterranean. And here again, he drew on critical history, beginning with Erwin Rommel and his drive across North Africa. He said, many historians realized that had Churchill failed to halt Rommel's advance to the Suez Canal, the entire Mediterranean theater would have been lost to the Nazis, which could have changed the outcome of the war. The Allies retaining control of the Mediterranean and eventually driving Rommel out of Africa in late 1942 changed the entire tide of the conflict. And he talked about the way that Germany is very familiar with that history as they engage now in a new battle for North Africa and the Red Sea and the Middle East. Except this time, he said, these areas are governed by unstable dictatorships and radical Islamic terrorist groups seeking to take the fight to Europe. But he said that Germany will not allow Europe's soft underbelly to be controlled by its enemy. For this reason, Germany is moving again to conquer the Mediterranean. And he talks about the way that Germany has methodically, over the last 30 years, moved into this region, focused on pushing out primarily Iran, but also even blocking Russia. He says astute observers in Europe, especially in Germany, see what is happening in North Africa. This is motivating European leaders to accelerate their own strategy to counter the Islamist tide. And that's another critical part of the rise of the German war machine that has been completely underappreciated. I didn't see anything about Germany's takeover of the Mediterranean in the Atlantic or any of these other pieces that we've talked about that in a great many other ways could almost have come out of the trumpet, at least the headlines. But they haven't been talking about this aspect of it. But if we look at Daniel chapter 11, because that article was all about how world events have brought us right to the brink of what is prophesied here. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40 says, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. So you have this clash between an Islamist king of the south and a European king of the north. And again, Mr. Flurry shows who those are and helps you prove that from the Bible in his book, The King of the South. But talking about that King of the North, it says, he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But even these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. So here the king of the south, well, they're allied with Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia. And so the king of the north comes and invades the king of the south and takes over Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia. Why is Iran allied with these countries, this radical Islamist Iran-led king of the south? Mr. Flurry in that article says, all you need to do is look at a good map of the Middle East, look at the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, and you can see why. These two countries border the two seas that form the most important trade route in the world. Iran already dominates the Persian Gulf. It has been working to take over the Red Sea. And he talks about the relationship they have with the Houthis I mean, they've been incredibly successful in causing massive economic damage to the world by supplying weapons to the Houthis and not completely shutting down the Red Sea, but certainly making countries that Iran disagrees with think twice about having their ships go through there. And then they're going to get control of Egypt and Libya, now moving on into the Mediterranean and threatening Europe much more closer to home. But it's just a continuation of the strategy that Iran is already pursuing. Mr. Flory said, I believe there are visionaries in Europe who see the beginnings of this prophecy about Ethiopia, Libya, and Egypt allying with or falling to radical Islam. They can see where this is heading. Using a little imagination, they realize that Iran could get control of these unstable nations. At the same time, some Iranians realize that shutting down the Red Sea is not enough to accomplish their desired level of damage. They need to be able to attack Europe in the Mediterranean. While the world is mostly blind to it, some in Europe are waking up to Iran's plan to capture the Mediterranean. The Europeans see the King of the South pushing through this policy. It is creating a sense of urgency in them to counter Iran's push. And so this article goes through in detail about Europe's push into the Mediterranean, Germany's move into the Mediterranean. Talks about the way that Germany went up against the entire world to insist on the breakup of Yugoslavia. You know, the New York Times called it Germany's unusual assertiveness. Lots of newspapers and commentators commented at the time how unusual it was for Germany, you know, Britain, America, they just kind of wanted to keep the status quo, but Germany really drove the pace of breaking up Yugoslavia, recognizing the independence of countries like Croatia. And then, as time went on, pushing more and more for NATO to get involved and forcibly breaking that up. And then so much of that area now, especially the bits with coastline, like Croatia, they've been absorbed into the European Union and they've allowed Germany to push east and to push south, giving Europe much firmer hold on the Mediterranean, making sure you don't have a potential Russian ally as a Yugoslavia. And you imagine Yugoslavia as a strong Putin ally right now. How different the war with Ukraine, the sanctions on Russia, Germany's and Europe's security in the Mediterranean Sea, it would all be radically, radically different if Germany hadn't done that. And then Mr. Flory talks about Malta and Cyprus. You know, Germany never managed to take Malta during World War II, despite the fact it being, quote, the most heavily bombed place on Earth during that conflict, at least at a certain point. And so Mr. Flory talks about how hard the EU worked to bring in Malta and Cyprus and how they've already become important bases and how when Germany is getting involved in Lebanon and they're playing a role with the United Nations peacekeeping forces there, well, it has its ships based in Cyprus. And even today, their ships are patrolling the Lebanese coast using Cyprus as a base. And then more recently, we've seen Germany move further into the Middle East. Syria has been a dramatic example of this over, it's been a bit more than 12 months now. But all the way back in 2012, Mr. Flory had a cover article, How the Syrian Crisis Will End. He said, Bible prophecy reveals that very soon Syria will no longer align with Iran. Well, there we go. We're there. He wrote, the eyes of the world are fixed on this explosive hotspot. Bashar Assad will be ousted shortly. But what then? You can actually know the outcome. Keep your eye on Germany. And so that's been, Assad's been pushed out. They're now allied with Turkey. Germany did a lot just before Assad fell to supply Turkey with some of their modern, up-to-date weapons and tanks. Mr. Flory forecast the shift in Lebanon as well in 2020. He wrote, Hezbollah will forfeit much of its power. And he said, Iran will lose its grip over Lebanon. That's happening. We're seeing that. He talked a bit about the way Germany worked with Turkey. The way that Hezbollah threatened Cyprus. They saw the EU as an enemy. He talked about as well that in doing this, they've denied Russia some important military bases. He said, I've long speculated that Germany and Russia have agreed to a secret pact. This is needed to enable Germany to go after Iran. But to have deprived Russia of any bases anywhere in the region is a major victory for Germany and Europe. The Mediterranean is now a European lake. And Russia's trying to push back and negotiate and find a way to keep hold of having a naval base in Cyprus. This is still unfolding. But there's this battle for the Mediterranean going on. Is that then going to push or lead to Iran focusing even more on Egypt and Libya and Ethiopia? Mr. Flurry wrote, this is the year before last, 2014. Losing Syria will be devastating to Iran. It could very well be part of the reason for Iran to violently push at Europe. Consider what happens if Germany wrangles Syria out of Iran's hands. The Iranian terrorist regime would rightly fear that its dominance in the region was under threat. It would be concerned about preserving its alliance with Lebanon and Gaza and the Arab nations. This may cause Iran to heighten its aggression around Jerusalem and the crucial trade routes while it still can. In short, Syria's shift away from Iran could trigger the events of Daniel 11 and verse 40. Germany looks victorious in the battle for the Mediterranean right now. That's Mr. Flurry commenting this year. But Bible prophecy says it won't remain that way. Iran has not given up, and it will use Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia to push back. I mean, you can look at some important extensions of the news this year and have some forecasts for 2026. I am not saying these things will definitely happen in 2026, but they'll happen soon. Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia, they're going to be brought into the Iranian orbit. The rise of Germany's war machine is going to continue. We're going to see a clash over Libya at some point. German ships have already patrolled outside Libyan waters. You had Operation Sophia in 2015, with Europe trying to stop migrant smuggling. And they were working to destroy smuggling boats outside Libya's territorial waters. They expanded the mission in 2017 to training Libya's coast guard. Germany has talked for years about the possibility of having troops on the ground in Libya at some point. And there are, like people, like Mr. Flurry said, there are people that see the coming clash and they are preparing. He concludes, Italy and Germany had a dream of a great African empire and world empire. Their advance towards the Suez was part of the campaign. Though few realize it, Germany and many Europeans still hold that dream today. And then a little further down, watch the Mediterranean. Bible prophecy shows it will be a major staging ground for battles that will escalate into world war. And in this context of Germany moving into the Mediterranean and the Middle East, there's one more article from Mr. Flurry from this last year that's worth bringing up. That's titled, Turkey is going to betray America, from the October 2025 edition. Turkey is an important world power, writes Mr. Flurry. Its strategic location, bridging Europe and Asia, and its control over key waterways like the Bosporus make it geopolitically vital. Its economy, while facing challenges like inflation, is one of the largest in the region, with a gross domestic product of approximately $1.3 trillion. And he talked about the fact that Turkey is part of NATO, that America has given Turkey nuclear bombs, huge amounts of weapons, and then in particular, nuclear warheads. They're sitting in the Incirlik Air Base in Turkey. There's been some discussion within the US because Turkey is not the most reliable ally. Well, should we ask for those back? And some have speculated, well, maybe the reason America hasn't asked for them back is, well, what if Turkey says no? What do you do then? How do you get your nuclear bombs back without running the risk of that nation flinging them in your face? I mean, the way that in theory these are designed is they basically, there's a key that America has to unlock them before the host nation can use them. But when they've just been sitting in these host nations for so long, with little to no US presence, and you'd have to think that those countries would have figured out how to pick the lock by now. So you've got American nuclear weapons in Turkey. Is Turkey a good ally for America? Asked Mr. Flurry. Bible prophecy says Turkey is going to betray America. And President Trump has worked with Turkey, looked to Turkey to help bring peace in some parts of the world, the conflict in Armenia and Azerbaijan. But as Mr. Flurry points out, Erdogan has also praised the, quote, martyrs of Hamas. And he provides safe haven and Turkish citizenship to Hamas operators, praises them as freedom fighters. Israel went after Hamas's leadership in Qatar, while a lot of them up and moved to Turkey. Does Israel dare go after Hamas leaders in Turkey? Well, Turkey's a part of NATO. If Israel did to Turkey what they did to Qatar and bomb Hamas leaders, technically they'd be declaring war on the United States. Turkey is protected by NATO's Article 5. And Turkey is extending America's protective umbrella over Hamas terrorists. Mr. Flurry also points out the history here. The alliance between the Ottoman Empire and Germany during World War I. And that's how the Turks lost their empire. But he says that foreshadows what is yet to come upon the nation. An alliance with Germany that ends very badly for Turkey. And a lot of that article focuses on the book of Obadiah. It's a book that has profound spiritual truth and profound warning and correction for God's own sinning church, but there's still a physical application for Turkey as well. Obadiah 14, for example, talks about the crossway. Neither should you have stood in the crossway. I mean, Turkey are at the crossroads of the world. They control the Bosporus Strait, the Dardanelles Strait. Mr. Flurry says, we don't understand the geopolitical implication of events in this region. Turkey is geopolitically critical. If we lose this ally, we are going to suffer mightily. Or this chapter talks about, well, Turkey being part of a confederacy in verse 7. You know, that's, it's a secretive alliance, a conspiracy, basically. They betray Britain and America. You know, there are hidden things that verse 6 talks about. Secret plotting. In verse 10 says, for your violence against your brother Jacob shall shame cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. They conspire against their brother, against Israel, against the Jews in the Middle East, but also Britain and America. Mr. Flurry talks about an incident Josephus records, talking about when the Roman Empire besieged Jerusalem in 7 AD and 2,000 Edomites, and Turkey's descended from Edom, came inside Jerusalem, and once there, then they betrayed the Jews by robbing and killing them. In verse 11, God says that the Edomites, even you, were as one of them. They were as one of the nations attacking them. They joined in the attack. That God is allowing to punish us, but they joined that attack alongside the European nations. He was as one of them. He was aligned with Germany and the European nations, but not one of them. He's not part of the King of the North. He's not one of those 10 kings. And you see, Turkey's tried to join the European Union. They've not been accepted. Mr. Flurry says, I believe this shows they never will. You know, they're not part of, they don't have the same culture. They don't have the same religion, critically, that will join and glue that Holy Roman Empire together. But they're going to work with Germany, help Germany develop a lot of power in the Mediterranean. Mr. Flurry writes there, Turkey has a massive coastline on the Mediterranean Sea, a lot of islands and a powerful navy. What happens if we lose control of the eastern Mediterranean to an aggressive enemy? In a way, it's already happening and Germany is quickly moving in. So that Germany-Turkish relationship is that's a major part of Germany's takeover of the Mediterranean. So Germany is rising. Germany's building its military power. It's developing new technology. That, you could say, is the first big trend that Mr. Flurry focused on with Germany this last year. Germany moving into the Mediterranean and the Middle East. That's a second major trend that Mr. Flurry focused on. And I think you could say a third is Germany's leadership vacuum. Or what's going to happen with Germany's leadership? Who's going to lead this new rising power? Germany got a new chancellor this year. Germany's elections, especially in the run-up, they were a major focus for Mr. Flurry. And then after the elections, but before Friedrich Merz, the chancellor we got this year, took office, Mr. Flurry had an article titled Europe Needs Someone Greater Than a German Chancellor. He talked about Europe's need for a strong man and referenced all those things that Mr. Armstrong has said about a strong man coming to power the way Mr. Flurry has forecast this. But he says, however, the European strongman is still not in power. Several Bible prophecies foretell of this man. Many signs show he will appear on the scene soon, perhaps this year or next year, maybe even next week. Things are moving that fast. And we were expecting him very quickly. This could be another, this is another big thing to watch for in 2026. We could see him come to power very soon. And Mr. Flurry explained how Herbert W. Armstrong watched Franz Josef Strauss, believing he would be that strong man, and that didn't happen. Strauss died in 1988. But Mr. Flurry writes, still, Mr. Armstrong had a connection to this man, and we need to understand. It points to the future fulfillment of Bible prophecies that were delayed in Mr. Armstrong's day. He also pointed to Otto von Habsburg, another critical leader in Europe, that talked about Europe's Catholic heritage and the crown of Charlemagne, and really the revival of the Holy Roman Empire. And he said one of his friends was Otto von Habsburg, one of Strauss's friends, a descendant of a dynasty that ruled over the Holy Roman Empire. Habsburg got into the European Parliament with the ambition to help make Germany and eventually all of Europe into a superstate. And Mr. Armstrong knew both of these men. And there's an important lesson and signal in that. And it seems like it could well point the way to the individual that who ultimately will be that German strongman. Strauss trained Edmund Stoiber, who followed in his kind of politics and example and became very close to being German chancellor. Stoiber then trained Karl Theodor zu Guttenberg, a man with a lot of heritage from the Holy Roman Empire as well, a baron of the Holy Roman Empire, with similarities to Otto von Habsburg. And Mr. Armstrong's relationship with those two men points the way to the one that could well fulfill that role. Going back to the article we started with, Germany is arming for World War III. Mr. Flurry talked about zu Guttenberg a fair bit there as well. He says the former defense minister and multimillionaire Baron zu Guttenberg is following in the footsteps of Bavarian leaders Edmund Stoiber and Franz Josef Strauss, who harnessed high-tech industry. Strauss and Stoiber helped make Bavaria the high-tech economic powerhouse it is today. What if Guttenberg enhances this industrial power with artificial intelligence? He may very well be working on this already. Guttenberg has played a key role in helping European startups expand internationally. What Strauss and Stoiber started, Guttenberg continues. He has his mind very much on technology, AI, and modern warfare. He's made himself an expert in this field, an emerging power that few others understand. He probably knows all this technology as well as just about anyone on Earth. If Guttenberg were to gain power again, consider what he would do. With all his understanding about AI, he could well empower Germany to lead the world in that field. And he'd recently written an article about Helsinger, the same German startup that we talked about at the beginning. Mr. Flurry says, I don't think it's a coincidence that the man the trumpet has been watching to lead the rising European superpower invests heavily in startups and is a resident of Munich. Before becoming an investor in startups, Guttenberg serves as defense minister. Now Bavaria is becoming a hub for startups, especially military startups. Due to the tech and AI booms, Bavaria is leading these developments in Germany, and Germany may be taking the world beyond what can even be understood. You need to watch Germany and watch it lead Europe. Europe is prophesied to usher that continent and our world into a nuclear World War III. This strongman is going to play a major role in rapidly changing your world and bringing this power to its full potential that's rising in Germany right now and bringing it against the United States of America. God is going to use this man or allow this man to correct Britain and America. Mr. Armstrong in the 1980s wrote, we've been seeing these end time world events coming for several years now. God has delayed, held up world events, yet he will suddenly cut his work short and end things as unexpectedly and suddenly as when the trap springs on a rat before he can move. When Europe suddenly unites, our work, which Christ is doing with and through us, will quickly be over, and Christ coming very soon thereafter. That's where all of this is leading, and it can all happen very quickly. Mr. Flurry concludes that Arming for World War III article in about the same way. Germany is far more powerful than any other European power, he writes, and probably already greater than Russia. And prophecy says it's going to be hijacked by this strongman, this fierce king. He's going to get control of it, and several prophecies show that he's going to be controlled by a very evil spiritual power, the devil himself. For years, I've thought Karl Theodor zu Gutenberg would probably fulfill this role of the strongman of Europe. We will see very soon. He talks about how the book of Daniel prophesied of an Antiochus, prophesied of the ancient king Antiochus, who ruled in Syria and who tried to stamp out the Jewish faith. And the Jews every Hanukkah, they celebrate Antiochus's falling or being foiled. But Jesus Christ himself said, no, keep watching for the future, for those events that were in Daniel to be fulfilled. That ancient Antiochus, he's just a type of a coming Antiochus, this coming strongman. Mr. Flurry writes, the ancient Antiochus had an intense interest in technology. And he said, and Gutenberg is exceptional in modern technology. The expression, dark sentences. Well, we need to turn to Daniel chapter 8 to see this. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23 and says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Mr. Flurry writes, the expression dark sentences comes from the word hader, which means riddle, difficult question. I believe this expression could refer to difficult, highly complex technology. Gesenius's Hebrew Chaldean lexicon defines dark sentences as twisted, involved, subtle, fraud, enigma. Those words perfectly describe the enigmatic technology of AI. The world is continuing to make advances in armaments. It is frightening to witness, yet it is going to usher in the return of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. And that's what we keep reading here. Daniel chapter 8 says, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and he shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, he shall cause craft or deceit, he works deceitfully with Turkey, like we talked about, to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall stand up also against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And as Mr. Flurry concludes that article, Christ himself is going to come and destroy this seventh and last resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. So that's an overview of the most important trend to be watching from 2025. We'll put links to all of those articles in our show notes if you want to study that in more detail. And I'd again encourage you to prove this from your Bible. Don't believe me. Don't believe Mr. Flurry. Look in what the Bible says. Believe your Bible. Be like the Bereans. And receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures to see whether those things were so. There's some terrifying times coming, and God holds you accountable to prove this for yourself and then act on it and turn to him. And we have a whole wealth of material that will show you again from the Bible how you can act on this, what you can do, your responsibility. So you can get all of that from our website, thetrumpet.com. We're very happy to send that to you for free. I'm going to have a bit more as the weeks go on as well, looking back on 2025 and some of those key stories from Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flurry. Next week, the plan is I'll sit down with Trumpet Assistant Managing Editor Philip Nice, and we'll give an overview of the latest Trumpet print. And after that, we'll come back and look at some more of these key trends from 2025. One of them, I think, will be a look back at the religious movement in the United States. Mr. Flurry's had a lot to say about that. Its hollowness, or what it gets right and what it gets wrong, and some pretty pointed criticisms at President Donald Trump that we've had from Mr. Flurry over the last year as well. Thank you very much to George Haddad and Matthew Friesen for entering in production on the show. If you have any questions, any comments, please do email us at trumpetworld@thetrumpet.com or read us a comment. I do read all of those, and it is very useful to understand where our viewers, where our readers are coming from. We really do appreciate hearing from you. We'll be back on Friday with our regular Week in Review show. Until then, keep watching your world.